Thanks, Tom. So, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're at. Congratulations on everybody on their day count. Fantastic. And congratulations to this group who are actively supporting people that are coming in and people who have been here for a while. And if you didn't participate in the day count, that's okay. That's okay. You're here. And what's important is not what's happened in the past. What's important is that you are here and being open. So, after congratulations to everybody. So, I talked today on the eighth step. I simply call the talk the list. So, I want to bring you back to November 1973. My sponsor's kitchen. Early, before the light had fully come. He had the big book open on the table between us. He had it turned towards me. And the way a man turns a document towards someone when he wants them to read it for themselves. He didn't summarize it, he didn't explain it. He placed his finger on the page and he looked at me. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends. I read the words. And something happened in my body before my mind had finished reading it. Not a thought, not a decision, something earlier than both of those, a closing, a tightening. The body's answer before the question had even been finished forming. I want to talk to you tonight about that moment, about the distance between reading those words and being willing to act on them. But what lives in that distance, and why it is, in many ways, the whole of step eight. Last week I talked about step seven. About the cold floor, the borrowed room, a hand that had been gripping for decades finally opened. And the prayer, grant me strength as I go from here to do your bidding, as I go out from here. Step seven is a turning. Inward becomes outward. The project ends. The direction changes. And the direction points, it has always been pointing towards the names, toward the people, toward the list, toward step eight. The step has two parts, two things that asks of you. Made a list and became willing. Most of us hear those in the wrong order. We think that the list is the obstacle. We think that if we can just name the people, the work is done. The willing will figure out later. The list is not the hard part. The list is paper, list of names. The list is just the truth, written down instead of carried. The willingness is where everything happens. I wanted to ask you something. I want you to sit with it before you answer. Have you ever known clearly, without any doubt, that something needed to be done? And not done it anyway? Not because you forgot, not because this time wasn't right, not because circumstances prevented you, but because something inside of you said, not yet, not this, not like this. That is unwillingness, not refusal, not rebellion, just an interior door that won't quite open. The pen in your hand that doesn't move. Step eight is the process of becoming willing. Not performing willingness, not announcing willingness, not saying the right things in the meeting about how ready you feel. Becoming willing. I want to tell you what willingness is not, because we confuse it constantly with things that resemble it from the outside, but are not quite the same thing at all. Willingness is not enthusiasm. In 53 years of this work, I have never once been enthusiastic about making amends. Not once. I have never woken up grateful for the opportunity to tell someone how I harmed them. Willingness is not readiness. Readiness is a feeling, rather, a state you wait for. And if you are waiting to feel ready for step eight, you will be waiting for a very long time. Readiness doesn't come before, it comes through. Willingness is not agreement. I don't have to agree that this is fair. I don't have to feel that I was entirely wrong and that they were entirely right. I don't have to resolve every question I have about what happened between us. Willingness is not certainty about the outcome. I don't know how they'll respond. I don't know if they'll carry, will they still carry what I did? I don't know if they even remember. I don't need to know. So, what is it? Willingness is the moment that the argument runs out of air. It is not dramatic. It doesn't feel like a breakthrough. It doesn't announce itself. It feels like something quieter and harder to name. It feels like I can't keep not doing this. Not I want to do this. Not I'm ready to do this. Not I feel good about this. I can't keep not doing this. The fight stops. Not because you won. Not because you lost, because you're tired of fighting something that was never going to go away. The name is still there. The harm is still there. The years between you and them are still there. And you pick up the pen. Now I want to talk about what stands between you and that moment, because it is not nothing. The first thing is the but. You know this word. You've said this word, oh, every time a particular name rises in your mind, a name you already know belongs on the list, the word that follows it is but. But they started it. But they weren't innocent. But they hadn't done what they did. I wouldn't have done what I did. But after they said it to me, and after they did, the but is sophisticated. It sounds reasonable. In many cases, it's even accurate. The wrong was shared. The damage ran in both directions. You are not the only one who caused harm. But this is not the step where that gets weighed. That was step four. In step four, we made a list of your resentments. What was done to us? How you were wronged and who owed what. Step eight is the inversion. Step four is here is what they did to me. Step eight is here is what I did to them. And you don't feel, or you don't get to add but at the end. Not because their part doesn't exist, but because the step is not about their part. It is about ours. The but is how we keep one foot in the story where you are the only victim and never the actor. And that story has cost you more than you know. Cross it out. Every time it appears, just get rid of the word but. The second thing that stands in the way is a quieter kind of pride. Not the obvious kind. Not the arrogance you recognize in yourself. The kind that says, I shouldn't have been the one to go first. If someone would acknowledge what I went through, if they came to me first, then I'd be willing. That is conditional willingness. And conditional willingness is not willingness, it is a negotiation. It is placing a requirement on the other person before you will do your own work. Step eight does not say became willing when the other person's made it easy. It does not say became willing when you received acknowledgement of your suffering. It says became willing, full stop. The third thing is fear. I want to say something honest about this one. Fear is real. Fear of their reaction. Fear that the amend will open something you cannot close. Fear that they will use the moment against you. Fear that they will say something that confirms the worst thing you have always expect or suspected of yourself.
Caller.
I'm not going to tell you that fear is unfounded. Some amends go badly. Some people receive them poorly. Some people have been waiting for years not to be healed by the conversation, but to unload into it. But step eight is not asking you to make amends yet. That is step nine. Step eight is only asking you to become willing to make it, to become the kind of person who is prepared, if called, to face this. That question is answerable. The list. My sponsor said, sit down, take a piece of paper. Write every name, not the comfortable ones, not the ones where the harm was minor and the apology is easy, not the ones you already have a sense that they'll receive it well. The person you see every week and the person you haven't seen in 30 years, the person who moved away, the person who died. The person who's not sure is still alive, dead or alive, close or far, present or present or half forgotten. The list does not ask whether you can reach them. The list does not ask whether they are still or they still care. The list is the only thing. Did I harm them? And if the answer is yes, write the name. And then my sponsor said something I didn't want to hear. He said, put your own name on the list. I pushed back on that. I wanted to start with the obvious ones, the people are wronged visibly, the ones where the harm was documented and the apology was at least conceivable. He says, start with the hardest one. The hardest one was me. Because writing my own name meant admitting something I had been arranging but not see. Not that I was a victim of my disease. I could accept that story. That story was almost comfortable. What I could not accept, what my own name on that list forced me to accept, was that I had been the one who kept choosing it, the one who kept returning, the one who kept lying to the face in the mirror and called it survival. I harmed myself by refusing to see what was happening. I harmed myself by choosing blindness when sight was available. I harmed myself by staying inside a story that was destroying me because leaving the story felt like dying. When I finally wrote my own name, the rest of the list came, not easily, but honestly. I want to say one thing about the names that seemed pointless to write. The man who died. The woman who moved to another country, the person who has no idea this work was even happening. I thought, what is the use of a name no one can receive? My sponsor said, the work is yours, not theirs. You're not making this list so that they can forgive you. You're making this list so you can stop pretending. It didn't happen. The work is yours, not theirs. The willingness is not for them. It is for you. You write a name, something shifts, not in them, but in the story you have been carrying, the story that has been arranged. The harm in a way that protects you from being a part of it. The story that says, I was only ever acting upon, never acting. Writing the name is the first act of telling that story to go. I'm going to go back where I began, my sponsor's kitchen in November. The big book opened between us, his fingers on the page. I read the words, and something in my body closed before my mind had finished reading. I carried that closing for a while, longer than I should have. And then one day, not dramatically, not with any announcement, the closing stopped. I was sitting at my own kitchen table, a yellow legal pad in front of me, a pen in my hand. And I wasn't waiting anymore. Not because the names had gotten easier, not because I had resolved the fear, not because I felt ready in any way I could explain to you. I just wasn't fighting it anymore. That's willingness. Not the feeling you wait for, the resistance that finally stops maintaining. The pen moves. The name appears. And you are, at last, on the other side of the argument you have been losing for years. Step 8 does not fix the past. It stops the past from following you into every room you walk into for the rest of your life. Not freedom from what happened, freedom from the weight of pretending it didn't. Thank you for your generous listening. I'm going to be putting five questions for you to consider if you want to take up that challenge into the chat spot. And I wish you all the best in the next coming days. Thanks, Tom.